Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A family should be a place of nurture and happiness. Some families hide dark secrets of shame, as dads have not been the kind of fathers their wives and kids deserve. Today, why it's necessary to forgive your father so that, with God's help, you can move on in life. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on Dads in Charge.
Some of you, God bless you. My heart aches for you because you've lost your childhood as a result of your father. And so as a result of that, you face the loss and you accept it and recognize that things will not change. It is what it is, despite the pain. And then what you choose to do is you really do choose to forgive and lay it down. And how do you and I forgive? Our standard is we want to forgive others even as Jesus forgave us. Aren't you glad for the fact that Jesus freely forgave us? Isn't that wonderful? Is it not our responsibility to forgive as we're forgiven, with or without our Father's cooperation? We hope that there can be reconciliation, but in many instances there can't be. And so what we choose to do is to say, no longer am I going to be defined by my pain. Now I'm going to speak to you candidly. Pretend I'm not speaking to a large crowd as I am today, but rather you're in my office and we're looking at each other eye to eye, just between us. This is what I would say. It's so important that when you think about the past, that you not focus on the fact that all of your wounds have to be healed. My wounds have to be healed. You see, the problem is with you and with me. We feel our wounds much more keenly than we feel our sin. Therefore, we don't necessarily see that the real issue God has in mind, the real issue he has in mind, my friend, is holiness, a pursuit of God, with or without healing, I should say. So I was preparing this message. I was reminded of a time when I had the opportunity to speak, and I did at one time speak many times during the Promise Keeper era. And I was speaking to a large stadium of 10 or 15,000 people, and I was explaining all this to them, and then I gave an invitation. Hundreds of men came forward. Hundreds, I don't know how many. But I remember all throughout the front, men were weeping and crying up to God. And I remember one man who was sitting in this part or standing in this part of the crowd, and he kept saying, "Dad, I forgive you. Dad, I forgive you." And I hope and pray that that was the beginning for those men to finally come to realize that their past should not define them. And even if some left with still their wounds, that they should know that they could be men of God, no matter how they were parented. Because we've learned in the first message that wherever sin abounds, there's also grace alongside of sin. You know, you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are very few examples of great parenting. There are some. But just think of Abraham. Now remember, his parents were pagans. And I think by God's grace and sovereignty, he turned out pretty good, actually. I think of Moses, for example. He was raised by a single woman, the princess, who was a sun worshiper. And look at what God did through Moses. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a man by the name of Ahaz. He was not a righteous king by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, Ahaz, who did evil in the sight of the Lord, he has a son by the name of Hezekiah. And the Bible says that Hezekiah walked in all the ways of the Lord and served the Lord all the days of his life. And you say, wait a moment. I mean, look at his father. If you have the faith to believe it, I encourage you to step out today and believe and trust God that you can be reconciled to your father, and your past need not define your future, because God is a God of grace. It might be unrealistic for me to give an invitation here today, as was given at Promise Keepers, but I can't help but think that out in the balcony and listening by other means over the internet and the radio, there would be hundreds of people, maybe thousands, who say, this message is for me. I am sick and tired of pursuing healing for my wounds as if that's the greatest goal. The greatest goal is to glorify God and to seek Him. And despite all your imperfections and your inadequacies, who knows what God will do when you step out in faith and say, Lord, help me to be the father that I should be. So that's a message for all of us, isn't it? We all have to be reconciled to our parents, boys, girls, men, women. But now I'm speaking to the fathers once again directly. Suppose you've done that. What is the next step that you as a father should do? Well, the next step is restoration. The restoration of broken relationships. Dad, you have to take the initiative here. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto them as being the weaker vessel, so that your prayers will not be hindered. What hinders prayer? Unresolved relationships. Dad, you have to take the initiative. I hope it's okay that I give a personal illustration. One time, one of our daughters wrote me a letter and indicated what she appreciated about growing up in our home, and specifically about me. And it wasn't about the fact, Dad, I just love those sermons that you preached. Or, you know, I read your books. No, she said, the thing that stands out most is that whenever I was wrong, I would be quick to go to them and ask their forgiveness. And I was wrong many times. Inconsistent discipline, discipline in anger, blaming the wrong child. I'll tell you, I've done it all. And so do you. What children are looking for is an honest dad who'll say, I have wronged you. I have not done right by you. I ask your forgiveness. Begin there, because the text says, fathers to children, children to fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse, as one translation put it. We're dealing here with huge issues within the family. And then, of course, concentrate on the fatherhood of God. The Bible says that He is a father to the fatherless. Now, there's a promise you can hang on to. And David said, even when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will pick me up. God is our Father if we know Christ as Savior. One of the most beautiful words in the English language, I think, is the word father. I also like the word dad. I love to send my kids a card, or if I email them, I always sign it dad. And I love the word dad. What an honor. And remember, we have a father in heaven, and we cry up and we say, Abba, Father, a term of endearment. Is there anything more precious than that? That's whom you pursue. You pursue God. Jesus, in fact, taught us to pray. Did He not? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And He revolutionized even the understanding of the Old Testament by affirming such incredible intimacy. Jesus also gave an example of God the Father by telling a parable about a boy who ran away from home. The father welcomed him back without a lot of questions. He said, bring a ring and put it on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and give him a robe. and bring hither the fatted calf and kill him, for this my son was dead and is alive, he's lost and is found. That's exactly what God will do for you today if you come to Jesus Christ. You'll be welcomed into his family, but you have to come through Jesus, because he's the only one who's a Savior who died that we might be converted and that we might be able to be forgiven and stand perfectly before God. God is able to change your circumstances by changing you and me if we're willing to give him our hearts. Are you weary? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And even your family can experience that rest in Christ, because God is our Father. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, as we have looked over the responsibilities, how we deeply repent, because all of us have been such imperfect fathers. All of us. But Father, we cleave to you and to your grace and to your mercy. Before I close this prayer, I'm talking now to the congregation. How many are there out there who say, "Pastor Lutzer, I think this message is for me. I have some business to do within my family." Could you raise your hands, please? Even in the balcony. Many of you have raised your hands. Many of you who should have, perhaps haven't. Father, whatever you've told us today, help us to be obedient. And we pray that many may be able to say, "Our Father who is in heaven." We pray in his blessed name. Amen.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. And of course, this message was directed to fathers, to dads. But at the same time, it also has a message for mothers, for motherhood. Namely, the responsibility of a father to his children reminds us of the importance of children and how God holds parents accountable for the way in which they parent those children that he, God, has given to them. You and I know that the home in America is in tremendous trouble. I'm sure that you are aware of families within your sphere of influence and within your line of friendship that are going through times of difficulty, maybe even divorce. I preach this series of messages to help families just like that. And these messages are available in video format along with a discussion guide. And in this way, you can use them in small groups. Use them within your own family. And be reminded of the fact that the grace of God that has been given to us in Jesus can intervene and change your situation. I really do believe that. Thanks for joining us, and please stay tuned now for some very important information.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. We've heard Dads in Charge, another message on fighting for your family. There's no doubt marriage is under attack. Some say, why marry? Living together is becoming the norm. Next time on Running to Win, why marriage as an institution is so important. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.